This is the IBJ podcast for the week of June 22nd, 2020, brought to you by the law firm Krieg DeVault. I'm Mason King. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Now, most, if not all of us, have been affected in some way by the coronavirus pandemic and its paralyzing effects on the economy. But research shows that Black-owned businesses have been disproportionately affected. The Indy Black Chamber, which was founded in early 2015, has been working with its member businesses to help them navigate through the turmoil, but President and CEO Larry Williams says that it could really use support from the city of Indianapolis. The city has taken several measures to help small businesses weather the pandemic, primarily working through the Indy Chamber, the longstanding local business advocacy group. For example, the Indy Chamber received a $1.5 million city grant to deploy rapid response loans to small businesses in late March. The Indy Chamber later received a $25 million allocation from the city through funding from the Federal CARES Act that helped it front Paycheck Protection Program loans to small businesses. The city also partnered with Indy Chamber on the Ready to Restart grant program, which is reimbursing businesses up to $5,000 for buying personal protective equipment. The program is funded with $5 million the city received from the Federal CARES Act. But to this point, the Indy Black Chamber has received no funding through the city of Indianapolis to give loans or grants to its members who are struggling. Now, to be clear, Black-owned businesses are receiving support through the city's programs with the Indy Chamber. For example, for the rapid response loans, nearly 30% went to Black-owned businesses. As for the Paycheck Protection Program, 36% of the loans have gone to Black-owned businesses. But Larry Williams contends that the best way to support Black-owned businesses is to work with the organization that is devoted to advocating on their behalf. I spoke with Williams about the Indy Black Chamber's frustration with what leaders see as the city's reluctance to work with and provide funding through the group. After the break, I'll speak with the City of Indianapolis' Deputy Mayor of Economic Development to get the Hogsett Administration's perspective. So, first up, here's Larry Williams. So joining me in the IBJ Podcast virtual studio is Larry Williams, President and CEO of the Indy Black Chamber of Commerce. Larry, thanks so much for making time for us today.
Mason, thank you for having me today.
Tell me, why does the Black business community need the Indy Black Chamber of Commerce? There's already a big Marion County Chamber of Commerce. What need do you fill?
So in 2013, me and my mother started a security company, armed, unarmed guards. And so when we started the company, we joined the Indy Chamber. And joining the Indy Chamber, there was about 200 people there and about five Black people. And so it was hard for us to get into conversations that everybody else were in. It was hard to break that wall and get involved. And so it really was the same five of us talking all the time. And I was like, they had a Hispanic chamber. And so when we went to the Hispanic chamber, like everybody related and they grew each other together. And so I said, well, where's the Black chamber? And there was not a Black chamber. In 2008, the Black chamber defunct from lack of funding. There was no corporate funding. There was no funding coming in. And so to this day, I'm still dealing with that as the president of the Black Chamber for the last 5 years of the new Indy Black Chamber that we started in 2015. In 2013, we saw Anderson, Indiana had a Black Chamber. They had about 60 members, but they had been around for 10 years and they had two bank accounts. And so we sat on their board for 2 years. We went up there twice a month for 2 years to understand what a chamber was and how it would benefit the Black community. The state did a disparity study in 2014, and it said that only 2% of Black businesses were being used in the whole state of Indiana.
When you say that only 2% were being used, you mean 2% being used for like state contracts or?
2% were being used in the whole state of Indiana as far as like Ivy Tech, IU Health, state contracts total.
And again, that's for public contracting. Mm-hmm. So again, what is the role that the Black Chamber fulfills that is really specific to the Black community?
Specific to the Black community is we help Black businesses grow. like anybody can start and build a chair. But when you're doing multiple chairs, when you had to hire employees, you had to have the insurance, you got to have a license, you got to have a certification. These are the things that you need to have that we are not taught in the Black community about business. There's nobody there to teach you all these things. And so what happens that we have seen is, you know, we'll open up a store and we'll start selling hot dogs. Well, if you didn't get a certification or have the health department come through, then they'll shut you down. Or if you're selling t-shirts and you're not taking out the right taxes, you'll get shut down. Well, no one tells us all this information or teaches you how to run a business. You just like, hey, I'm gonna start a business because I have some money, this is what I want to do. And so we teach how to start a business. Then once you start it, then we advocate talking to the airport, talking to Eskenazi, talking to the library. Hey, we have someone who can help you clean or do marketing. And so we give people jobs and contracts. And as we do that for the Black community, when Black businesses grow, we hire Black people. And when we hire Black people, they get people off the streets, it cuts down on crime. If you're going to work the next day, I mean, you're not hanging out all night. And so when we hire Black people and give them a livable wage, then they're no longer renting. Now they're buying homes. And when you're buying homes, you're investing in your community. And if you invest in your community and the Black community grows, the Indianapolis grows as a whole and the state grows as a whole when you have a great Black Indianapolis.
So how many Black-owned businesses are there in Indianapolis? Is there an estimate of that?
It's an estimate of almost 3,000 when you're talking about as far as home shops and brick and mortar. I mean, there are a lot of Black businesses that are out here that have LLCs that, you know, you just may not know. Because they're on a smaller schedule. You know, the federal is not small business. When they talk about small business, you know, we're talking about maybe 250,000 or more. We're dealing mostly with like a lot of micro businesses. And so they're making under, you know, under 100,000, and it may only be one person shop, yeah. But they're still a business.
And that's, you're talking about like revenue for the year.
Correct.
Yeah. So do you think that some of those businesses are more likely to seek out help from a Black Chamber of Commerce than kind of the regular kind of larger organization?
Definitely. Right now we have over 272 members. So we know that people are reaching out to us and they're asking us to help them right now.
What is the budget of the Black Chamber of Commerce?
$100,000.
And where does the funding come from?
From membership and donations.
And how many employees or staffers do you have?
We have 5 employees.
Okay. Are those like part-timers or full-timers?
Part-time, and some are volunteers.
Indy Black Chamber has asked the city of Indianapolis for financial support in the past. So how so? Under what circumstances and what were you asking for?
The city gives out money to the Indy Chamber, and we think that's great. You know, the Indy Chamber does a great job of what they do. But when you're giving out tax dollars, we're asking you to give us 15% of whatever you're giving to the Indy Chamber. So we're not asking for the same amount or anything like that, but we are asking for a percentage, especially if you're giving tax dollars money out to so that we can help the Black businesses for our Black community. And we've been around long enough. We have proven that we can give out loans. Last year, we gave out 40 loans at $250,000 with a partnership of Lake City Bank. We're just asking for a piece of the pie.
And this is even before the pandemic. The city would fund the Indy Chamber to a certain extent. But when you would go and ask for funding, you wouldn't get any kind of response, or they would say no.
They would say no. Yeah. We get a response. It was no.
So there's something about the city's relationship with the chamber that we probably should clarify. The city doesn't typically give like an annual subsidy to the chambers just so it can run its organization. It does have a business relationship with the chamber where it basically pays for services that the chamber provides on contract. And probably the biggest one is through a business unit of the chamber called Develop Indy, where Develop Indy basically acts as the city's economic development organization. And the chamber gets $1 million a year from the city to do that. And there are a couple other services that the chamber provides for the city, and they get a few hundred thousand dollars for that. So have you approached the city, or are you interested in having a similar kind of business relationship where you could do work on contract for the city?
Yes, we are interested, and the city did give the chamber $1.5 million in March to give out to small businesses. And they also give money out to BOI for a loan. So the city does give the chamber money to give out for loans. And we're just asking for some of that. We also ask that we are part of the contracts that they give out. You know, at the beginning, when Mayor Hoss had first started, you know, we went to the mayor and we said, look, we want to be a part, and we want to also help be on these contracts. And what they said was that they already had a relationship with the Indy Chamber. And what our concern is, every 4 years, you get a new mayor, or every 8 years. So he had just started. So how was the Indy Chamber already have a relationship with the city? You know, so we're saying, well, this is the time to start to have a relationship with us. But it was, you know, pushed to the side.
If they turned around and said today, oh, Larry, give us another proposal, you know, let us know how we can work together. Is that still something you'd want to do?
Definitely. Yeah, we definitely want to work with the city. I mean, we want to work with the city. We want to work with the state. We want to work, partner with as many people as we can partner with. I mean, that's the way things get done, especially in this city. And all we're asking to be is a part of this, to be at the table when these conversations go on. And, you know, what we say, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And so right now, we are on the menu because we are not at the table.
Now, tell me about how Black-owned businesses have been hit by the pandemic. I get the sense that it is harder for this demographic specifically than the wider business community.
Correct. The Black community as a whole has been hit harder from this pandemic. If you know the saying that, you know, when the white community gets a cold, we get a flu. And right now we have pneumonia. We're out here dying. You know, there's no resources for Black businesses. They say the PPP loan and things of that nature, but there's some underlying issues because, again, it's still business as usual. You know, you got to have all your paperwork right. You got to make sure that you are profitable. I would tell you the first four years of my company, I was not profitable. We have a lot of people who have reached out and they can't be approved for the PPP loan because they are not profitable. And so that cuts them out. We've had a lot of people get denied for the EDIL loan because their credit's bad. In the Black community, I mean, that's pretty high. So a lot of them did not get the EDIL loan. Then, you know, again, with the PPP loan, they were asking for W-2s, and a lot of our businesses are contractors. They're contracted out. So here we are. We didn't get the PPP loan. We didn't get the EIDL loan. And so now we didn't get any help. And so everybody's coming to us like, hey, what do we do at this point? And we don't have any money to help them during this pandemic. And when we go and say, look, these are the problems that we're having as far as PPP and EIDL loan, you know, everybody's like, oh, well, you know, those are the stipulations. And I'm like, look, again, this is business as usual, how the Black community gets missed when millions of dollars are being pushed out and no one is making sure that the Black community.
So you said EDIL loans? I wasn't familiar with those. What are those?
That's a loan from the SBA. During this COVID, they were giving out money if you apply for it, but people were applying for it and they were getting denied.
So, I mean, part of the problem is that a lot of Black-owned businesses, they tend to be micro businesses, and they just don't have the same kinds of documentation or don't have the same kind of business practices that they're looking for in these more kind of formal loan programs. The Paycheck Protection Program. Right. And that is to help cover, obviously, your payroll.
Yes, correct.
During the things. So when Black-owned businesses try to access those kind of loans, I mean, just the process itself is kind of stacked against them. Just by the nature of, you know, how they run the business.
Correct. Okay.
What can you do for them?
What we're trying to do for them is give them loans around $5,000. Where, you know, it's just a loan. It's not for the PPP. It's not for EDIL. It's just a $5,000 loan that you have to pay back. But at least it can help you during this 4-month pandemic that we're dealing with. The problem is they're not receiving any money at all. We're already unbankable. It's hard for black businesses to get money from banks already. And right now they're dying off. I mean, we've had five businesses closed just last week that I know of.
So what do you think the city of Indianapolis should be doing to support the Indy Black Chamber to help you support your members? If I'm Mayor Hogsett, tell me what I need to do.
As mayor, during his protests and everything, it's all about systemic racism. And, you know, I mean, you know, it's about police brutality, but it's also systemic racism where we're not receiving money economically. You know, everybody wants to talk and say, okay, well, we want to, you know, have these conversations. We've been talking for 100, 400 years. I mean, talk is over. Now it's time for action. And action requires money. And I think that's the way the mayor and the city of Indianapolis needs to put their money up to black-ran organizations. You can give it to white-ran organizations all day long. And we don't care about that. That's fine. But for the black Indianapolis, you need to give it to black ran organizations and not just one black ran organization. Say, oh, you know, I wiped my hands, we gave it to them. No, there is more than one organization that speaks for our black community. What I'm asking from the mayor is send us money that we can put back into our black community through our black businesses and let us grow our black community that way.
Okay. Is there an amount that would be helpful? I mean, is there, if I'm Mayor Hogsett, I'd say, well, how much is enough?
Well, definitely a million would do it, but you know, half a million, you know, we work. I see the state send out half a million and I'm like, for the whole state of Indiana, you only send out $500,000 money for a minority business. $500,000 ain't going to do nothing for nobody. You know, that's not enough, especially for the whole state of Indiana. That's not enough money. You know, we gave out $250,000 to 40 businesses, but it was only at $5,000.
Right. I mean, if you really that was the loan program through, was it Lake City?
Lake City. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
it was, you're leveraging the money was being loaned by Lake City.
Correct.
You were helping administer that and kind of the go between the businesses and Lake City.
Correct. What I'm saying is, if you're only helping 40 businesses at $5,000, I mean that's not enough. I mean, at $10,000 at the least is what they need. And you know, you got 50, if you do 50 businesses, I mean, again, we have over 272 businesses that are waiting for money. So, you know, $500,000 is not a lot, but I mean, hey, we'll take it. I mean, right now we're getting zero. So,
you know, I wanted to ask you about that state program. The way that I understood that, the state was using, I think, some federally available money to give to the Indy Black Expo organization, basically to create like a promotional campaign for Black-owned businesses around the state just to learn about what's available. So I don't even think that they were saying, here, spread this $500,000 out. I think they're saying, we're giving the Black Expo this amount of money just to create programs to let people know what is available. Is that how you receive
yes,
that?
Sir.
But yeah, I mean, I went to Indy Black Expo. Do you feel like that was a missed opportunity? Is that something that the state could have benefited from the Black Chamber's expertise from?
I mean, again, you know, they can give it to the Expo. That's fine. But also give us our piece of the pie too.
So we talked about how the city has used the Indy Chamber to help small businesses. So this is the way that I understood it. So since the pandemic started, it has been working through the Indy Chamber to deploy this federal coronavirus relief money that has been made available. So for example, the Indy Chamber received $25 million, which was kind of like the pass-through for $25 million, from the city, from the Federal CARES Act, that it could distribute as part of the Paycheck Protection Loan Program. Is Indy Black Expo, does it have the ability to administer that kind of loan program?
You mean the Black Chamber?
Yeah, I'm sorry, the Black Chamber, yeah.
We don't send out money through the PPP loan. We wouldn't be able to do that. Mm-hmm. But the city did, before they gave them $25 million, they gave them $1.5 million for just to give out loans, period. And that is something that we are able to do. Yes.
That was to reimburse small businesses for their costs for the personal protection equipment, right? Like if you need sanitizer, if you need gloves, if you need masks.
No, that's something even different.
Oh, is it?
They sent them money for that too. They sent them 1.5 to just give out loans to help during this pandemic. And then they gave them $25 million to help for PPP loan. And then now they're giving them some more money for the personal protection program. I mean, they're sending millions of dollars to Indy Chamber. And again, Indy Chamber's doing a great job. You know, they have done maybe 30% of black businesses, but we have referred them to the black, to the Indy Chamber, because that's what everybody comes to us. So we got to send them there. But, you know, we're not a referral service. You know, we are our own organization, and we stand on our own.
In the story that's in our latest issue of IBJ, you said that the Black Chamber leadership feels like the city is reluctant to work with the group. Yes. What do you mean by reluctant?
Reluctant because we have sent the emails and letters to the mayor asking to let us be a part of the business community, because they meet with Mike Hubert, you know, once a week talking about business and what's going on.
Just so folks know, Mike is the president or CEO of the Indy Chamber.
And so they meet with the Indy Chamber every week. And we're saying, hey, you know, you're missing 30% of the population voice. And we're asking to be a part of that. We're asking to be a part of that, those conversations, and also being part of the money situation. And we have been denied every time. And so we feel like this, the leadership feels we're reluctantly being pushed away.
If that situation doesn't improve, I mean, what other avenues does the Indy Black Chamber have to provide more resources for its members? I mean, do you fundraise with other companies, or how do you do that?
Yeah, so we do fundraise with other companies. So like I said, you know, Lake City has been great. The airport has been great. Eskenazi has been a great supporter. CICF has been a wonderful supporter when it comes to the black community and the black chamber. So, I mean, we have other avenues, but we are the Indy Black Chamber. So we should get support from the city. I mean, if you go to Cincinnati, the Black Chamber gets support from the city. If you go to Chicago, the Black Chamber gets support from the city. We're sitting here in Indiana saying, how do you not support us? And again, we feel like that's systemic racism.
If I want to help the Indy Black Chamber or just local black-owned businesses, what should I be doing?
Yes. Number one is go and buy something from some black businesses. That's number one. Check out our website. See who our members are. Patronize them and go buy some things from them. We do shopping in our stores every Friday. It's on Facebook Live at 1 o'clock. And we partner with Channel 6, and we highlight four businesses because, you know, right now, COVID, everything has been closed. So we've been doing like our own home shopping network for our black businesses. And then always, you know, donations. I tell you, economics is what this whole thing is about. That's what drives this whole world. Everybody else is getting paid to do this work, and we all do it voluntarily.
And so the Facebook Live program, I would go to the Facebook page for Indy Black Chamber, and that's it. What time on Fridays?
1 o'clock on Fridays.
All right. Well, this is great information. I'm glad you shared it with us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, before we get a response from the city of Indianapolis, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. This is the IBJ Podcast.
The IBJ Podcast is brought to you by Creek DeVault, a trusted and dynamic law firm representing a wide variety of local, regional, and national clients. Committed to each other and to every client, Creek DeVault prides itself on integrity, professionalism, respect, and excellence. Financial institutions, global manufacturers, national healthcare providers, and successful organizations of all sizes and market focus rely on Creek DeVault to create innovative and successful business solutions. Connect today at www.creekdevault.com.
Okay, we're back with this week's edition of the IBJ Podcast about the Indy Black Chamber and its disappointment over lack of support from the city of Indianapolis. I spoke with Angela Smith-Jones, Deputy Mayor of Economic Development, about the Black Chamber's concerns and how the city has been working with the Indy Chamber to distribute COVID-related funds. So I think in essence, from my conversation with Larry, what he's saying that if the city is interested in supporting Black-owned businesses, it should provide some kind of support for the Indy Black Chamber. Now, that could take the form of maybe something like a regular grant or disbursement to help fund operations, or it could use the Indie Chamber, Indie Black Chamber, as a kind of vessel or pass through for funds that could help its members. Okay. But the city should be working with Indie Black Chamber and using it in some fashion. So then the question is, well, why hasn't it?
First of all, Mason, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to come on your podcast and your show. I enjoy listening to you when I'm able to do so. But yes, so first of all, just start with absolutely the importance of supporting all of our small businesses, and especially our Black-owned and Hispanic-owned businesses. It's no secret or mystery that typically Black-owned businesses have a tougher time getting started, and there are many obstacles and barriers to that, and then also the opportunity to remain successful going forward for long term is a lot more challenging as well. So it is absolutely one of our top priorities as a city. Anybody who's smart about economics and sustainability of any local economy knows how important it is to support and sustain Black businesses and Hispanic-owned businesses. So Larry is right. It is absolutely important that we continue to invest in our Black businesses in the city of Indianapolis, and it is one of our top priorities.
And his question is, okay, that's your top priority. Why are you not helping the Indie Black Chamber do that? Because it is as direct a conduit as you're going to find to Black-owned businesses.
The city, we do not give grant dollars to any not-for-profit organization. Like, if you imagine every not-for-profit organization in general in the city, and or every not-for-profit organization focused on Black-owned businesses or Black and Hispanic-owned businesses or Black services, we literally cannot do that. So that's the underlying basis. But in all sincerity, happy to sit down with Larry Williams. I know him well. He's a fantastic gentleman. To sit down with him if there's a proposal of services that the Black Chamber would be able to provide. There may be an opportunity to contract a vendor relationship with them, and that would really be the only way that we could specifically give dollars directly or working with the Indie Black Chamber. But we do have an Office of Minority and Women Business Development, and that's, we work through them and focusing on our XBEs and most specifically Black-owned businesses.
So I think one of the examples he would bring up is, I think, with the pandemic relief loans. I guess there are two different programs that the city went through the Indie Chamber to essentially administer. One was, I think, was the Paycheck Protection Program loans, and that was forwarding $25 million to the chamber so they could disperse that to businesses. My understanding is the Indie Black Chamber would not be able to do something like that. It doesn't have the infrastructure set up for that, or isn't the right kind of organization.
Yes, sir. That would be correct.
But there, in addition, there was a $1.5 million, I don't know if grand is the right word, but the Indie Chamber received $1.5 million to use to reimburse small businesses for the cost of personal protection equipment. Do you recall the name of that program?
The Restart Grant.
Mm-hmm. Right. Why not provide the Indie Black Chamber with some of that funding that it could direct to its members?
No, that's actually a great question. First of all, we're talking about federal dollars. And so the accountability and the requirements on utilizing federal dollars is different than, say, a grant disbursement, right? And so therefore, we know that the federal government will allow us to utilize CDFIs. And we also know that develop Indie specifically, an Indie Chamber, we know that they are a CDFI. And we have a very long history with working with them and knowing that they qualify for receiving federal dollars. They are also certified to disperse federal dollars. And so therefore, they have the infrastructure and the bandwidth capacity to call team members. So for example, during the PPP disbursement of funds, they had 33 team members dedicated to intake, triaging, and actually issuing that funding. So when you look at all of that in the long history in general with the Indie Chamber, knowing that they've already qualified under the federal terms, it becomes also a decision of familiarity and safety, right? So we know that when there's an accountability factor, and we have to report back to the federal government exactly how we funded it and it was dispersed, we know they have the technical infrastructure and the legal requirements that reporting would be seamless. And when we're in a crisis mode, I mean, and maybe if we weren't in crisis, like this is an opportunity to look forward and how we could partner next going forward. But when you're in a crisis mode, you have to deal with what do we know we can meet the federal guidelines and ensure that we have adequate and proper reporting and therefore we're not being exposed. So those would be all of the reasons that we went directly back to the chamber for utilizing the disbursement of those funds.
In general, I mean, I think that Larry interpreted all of this as the city being reluctant to work with the Black Chamber. Is that a fair characterization?
Not at all. That would not be the case. I've not had the opportunity to talk with any proposals with Larry of how they could provide services. There's not a reluctance at all. In fact, I know that there have been lots of communications with other organizations, and meaning the Indy Black Chamber and the Indy Chamber and NO Power, which is also another Black, you know, business organization. So no, there's no reluctance at all to sit down and have conversations. We welcome that opportunity, in fact.
Yeah. Is there something in particular that they could do to be more attractive to the city as a partner in some way?
Actually, I think that would be the best answered by Larry. So if he can identify some of their strengths, right, their opportunities of services they could provide, a way to partner, whether it's directly with the city or with another organization, right? Like we two organizations together can provide these services to the city. That's typically how it comes to us. So that's why I'm like, I would absolutely welcome a proposal if Larry could say, hey, these are the services that the Indy Black Chamber could provide and an opportunity to contract with us. I think that would be a great way to proceed.
Well, great. I think that answers the question.
Please let Larry know. Reach out. Happy to have a conversation. But yeah, again, we cannot, you can only imagine how many non-for-profits would come to the city, and especially for operating it funds that the city, we wouldn't be able to pave any streets or put up any streetlights. We just can't do that as a city.
And so the city does not provide, for example, the Indy Chamber with any kind of grant funding. Its relationship is more as a vendor.
Absolutely. That is accurately stated. Yes, sir.
Though during this pandemic, obviously, it is served as a way of dispersing those federal funds that we talked about.
Right? Because they are CDFI, yes. And we already have a prior long-term relationship. So the city and the Indy Chamber have had a long-term relationship since 2012 when Develop Indy folded into the Indy Chamber. And then prior to that, starting all the way back to Goldsmith, when Mayor Goldsmith broke out economic development out of the city and stood up independent entity. It has been a very long-term relationship contractually for contracted services, et cetera. And that is why. And they are also a CDFI, which means they absolutely understand all of the federal guidelines and requirements and the federal banking guidelines and requirements. So there's really kind of two levels of federal accountability that they are also very well aware of and have already operated in that space in the past.
And CDFI, is that Community Development Financial Institution?
Yes. Yes.
Well, great. Well, thank you again so much. I really appreciate it.
Take care, Mason.
My thanks again to Larry Williams and Angela Smith-Jones. If you'd like to learn more about how both the Indy Black Chamber and the City of Indianapolis are working to support Black-owned businesses, IBJ reporter Sam Quinn has a full story in the latest issue of IBJ. And before you get on with the rest of your week, there are a few other stories in this week's paper I want to highlight. First up, John Russell has more on the recent request from a group of Indiana utilities for permission to charge ratepayers for revenue that utilities stand to lose during the COVID-19 pandemic. Thousands of people from all corners of the state have sent a flurry of complaints to the State House. Utilities say they're dealing with a rare challenge here, but the outpouring of reaction seems to show that Indiana customers are in no mood for another rate increase. Also, in this week's issue, Greg Andrews surveys the renewed hostilities between real estate magnates David Simon and Bobby Taubman now that Simon is pulling back from a $3.6 billion deal to buy the latter's company. And Susan Orr explores the difficulties that Indiana economists face when trying to forecast the future of the state's economy. You can read all of these stories in this week's print edition of IBJ or online at ibj.com. And remember, for full and unfettered access to all of IBJ's award-winning business content, just click that subscribe button. Thanks again for making time this week for the IBJ podcast, which is edited by Leslie Weidenbender. I'm Mason King. Hang in there, folks.